Sam. Wow, what a privilege to be here. Amen. I was thinking about this with our wives talking so much. I started thinking about this last night that they're probably talking about us and how they need to counsel us and how we need to keep growing. So grateful for my wife, my very best friend, and I couldn't do what I do without her. And we do everything together. And so by way of explanation, we're hoping she can go to Singapore, but part of that is because it happens to be summer vacation and my youngest is 16, but all the older kids will be home and so he wouldn't be alone. So please don't be hurt or offended by that if that happens. So we are working on that. I want to thank you just for your kindness, your love, your hospitality. On Friday, I got to be with your ministry staff and I just admire them so much. All the language ministries, the Indonesian, the Filipino, and then all of your ministry staff. You guys are blessed beyond words. And so I just really enjoyed that. Enjoyed the barbecue with all the servant leaders yesterday. And you guys are always just so kind to me, putting me in a nice hotel and feeding me. And I always feel like you treat me like a king. And I don't deserve it, but I'm so, so grateful. And so just thank the Lord for friendship for many, many years. And our church is just really excited that Pastor Sam is coming. So I'll leave. We go to China, to mainland tonight. And then Tuesday, I'll fly back home. And then he'll be right behind me. And on Saturday, we're going to do a seminar at our church. So we have a college, Freedom Bible College. You can get your associates in theology, but when we have guest speakers, like Pastor Sam's one of our visiting faculty, and so we'll do an intensive on spiritual sonship on Saturday. And so if you think of us, keep us in prayer, and then of course he'll preach, and he's going on to do some FCA stuff in Orlando. So thank you so much for just blessing your pastor and releasing him, letting him come to us. Thank you for sharing him with the world. We're very, very grateful for that. So praise the Lord. I know that you know this, but this church is really an apostolic base. And I think it's good to refresh your memory on that. You're celebrating 21 years. And so, yeah, it's very, very special what the Lord is doing here locally. But I would encourage you just to remind yourself that this is an international apostolic base. And so you guys have church plants in Singapore and Tokyo and Beijing and Shanghai and in Seoul now. And so be encouraged by that, because what God is doing through you is remarkable. It's something very, very special. And so I've had the privilege of going to the different ministries, and that DNA of SP is being replicated. And it is refreshing and it is exciting. So praise the Lord for that. So congratulations on 21 years, and the best is yet to come. Say amen to that. This is just the beginning. Say amen to that. Amen. There's a lot more for you guys to do. And so you have this extraordinary privilege to be part of something that's bigger than yourself. And we can do a whole lot more when we do it together, and we can reach a lot more people when we do it together. Amen. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know where Pastor Nate is. Is he serving somewhere? But yeah, hey, Pastor, before I leave today, I would like to pray for you and Monica. I had a word for the Seoul Church when I passed through there and met with the brothers and sisters last fall. And so I just, if I may, Pastor, just pray for you. And but I have a word for that Seoul Church. It's a good word. It's a really good word, and it has to do with freedom, and it has to do with what God is going to do through you guys. So praise the Lord. Should I do it now? Okay, yeah. Well, is your wife available? Or? Oh, hi, Miss Monica. Good to see you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Is it okay if I step down? And yeah, would you just stand to your feet for a moment? And this is such a significant part of your church, that you guys are church plants. You're sending out churches and planting churches. And I know this is going to be hard on you guys and hard on the songs and all the church family, because you've been here from the very beginning. I remember, you know, I've had the privilege of, I came here right after you guys started. and have had the honor of just visiting and stuff. But let's just stretch forth our hand and, yeah, hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for Pastor Nate and Monica. Lord, we thank you for this amazing step of faith that they're just willing to go and serve. And Lord, we know that transitions are not always easy. It takes time to settle, to feel like a place is home. And Lord, even though they are multicultural and they can flow in so many different contexts, this will be a new culture. This will be a new situation. And so, Daddy, I'm just asking for the grace, your grace to just wash over them. We pray for the kids that this will be a supernatural transition, that they'll feel at home. Lord, we stand in the gap for them. We just call in friends. We call in just emotional adjustment, and that this will be such a positive and heartwarming experience for the children and for the whole family. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll bring people around them. We thank you for this amazing team of godly men and women that are just waiting for them, excited for them to come. And Lord, we just really believe that you're going to do something very, very special in Seoul and in Korea. And so what I heard the Lord say when I was up there is that this church is going to be known for its freedom. And there has been a great move in Korea. We honor that. We thank God for the prayer movement. But there is a bit of religiosity. I'll just be honest. There's a lot of religiosity. And what the Lord is going to do through SP in Korea is just bring a sense of freshness. Not legalism, but discipline that really leads to freedom. And a place where people will really understand that they are righteous in Christ, that they are children of the Lord. And when they serve, it'll be with such joy and such abandon. There won't be a sense of heaviness and a sense of duty. But I'm just hearing from the Lord that you're going to even break some of those things that have created religiosity and a burden to people. And so we thank God for the honor culture. We thank God for the things that are there. But you're going to bring a sense of just freedom of brothers and sisters running and playing and dancing and serving the Lord with such freedom. And so the Lord's going to really bring that through you guys. And so, Lord, we just bless Pastor Nate. We bless Monica. And we just thank you that when they come there, they're going to bring a freshness of life. And so we bless them, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, I love you guys. Yeah. We love you guys. We love you. We love you. Just keep them in prayer. And as you guys know, most of you have traveled and transitioned. It's never easy. They often say it takes 3 to 5 years to really call a place home. It's never that easy. And so, but I just think it's wonderful. Yet another indication that God is going to do something special through SP. Amen? Would you just take a quick moment? I don't have a lot of time, but just bow your head and let's start by just praying for the people around us. Let's think outward for a moment and just pray that God will really speak to the people sitting around you. Intercede for them, that God will give them a word today. And especially if you know them, just whisper their name, pray for them, that God will really give them a word. Now, would you just please thank the Lord that you're not here by accident, that God has something for you. He has this amazing way of giving his rhema word, a word to speak and communicate to your heart. He knows what's really surfacing on your heart and mind today. Yeah, and then would you just pray for me? Pray that the Lord would just release his grace and the word that he's put in my heart would just flow unhindered, that I wouldn't get in the way, that it would flow like a river. Thank you. Yeah, I feel that. Thank you. Yeah, so Daddy, I just submit myself to you, and I just thank you for the extraordinary privilege of being part of the SP family. I'm just so humbled and honored by that, to call them close friends and to be able to share at different times And Lord, it is an amazing privilege. And so today, Lord, I just submit myself to you and to them. I hide behind the word of God. I hide behind the cross of Christ. And Daddy, I'm asking that this word will flow like a river of revelation. And that you'll just touch areas of our heart that really need to be touched. We thank you for the equipping power of your word. And I just give you the praise and the honor for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. I want to encourage you, if you weren't able to be with us on Friday or Saturday, and some of you told me that you watched online, but if you weren't able to, I really encourage you, maybe go back and listen to some of those. The theme that the Lord dropped in my heart is that we should live beyond regret. And so on Friday night, I talked about disappointments and unfulfilled dreams. And then last night I talked about depression and anxiety. And so even if you don't struggle with that, I'm going to guess that you know someone in your family or have a friend or someone close that struggles with depression and anxiety. And so I'd encourage you, go back, listen to some of those, and maybe the Lord will give you some nuggets on how you can minister even to other people. So the title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Would you please say that out loud? Say, Living Life Beyond Regret. And the subtitle today is Perfectionism and Self-Judgment. And so we want to talk about this idea of perfectionism, dealing with that, wrestling with that, and self-judgment. So living life beyond regret. Let me define this for you. I said before that regret, simply defined, is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. I have a feeling that most of us in this place have struggled with regret. We look back and there's a feeling of sadness or sorrow for some things that have happened in our lives. That could be disappointments. It could be mistakes that we've made. I go through this all the time, and I'm really trying to grow in this, but I'll go through this rewind button in my mind, and I'll say, wow, I wish I hadn't said that, or why did I say it that way, or why did I do that, or was I misunderstood? And I play the rewind button in my mind, and there's this sense of sorrow or regret, and I think about maybe the mistakes that I've made and wish that I could take them back. We might feel regret over failures. What about losses? A loss of a loved one, someone that has passed away, and you just wish you'd had more time with them. Maybe the loss of a job, or the loss of a relationship, or the loss of finances. And so we go through these feelings of sorrow and of regret. How about this? Missed opportunities. You look back over your shoulder and you think, wow, what if I would have taken a step of faith there? Or what if I would have taken that job? Or what if I would have moved to another country? What if I wouldn't have moved to another country? And so we go through these things in our minds, and so we live in regret. And unfortunately, my brother and sister, what tends to happen is it paralyzes us. And so we don't really enjoy the moment. We don't really enjoy the now because we're really struggling with this sense of regret. And I'm just here to announce to you and to declare to you and to give you great news that the Lord wants to heal and break that stuff off of your life so that you can really enjoy the now and look to the future. Because I found that what happens with regret is I tend to identify more with the pain of the past than the hope and the promises of the future. And so the Lord really, really wants to touch us. Can you say amen? Now, I shared this picture the last couple of nights, but if we could put this first picture of a train. I want you to just imagine for a moment that you're on a journey, and you are, a spiritual journey, and you're in a train. Now, you really can't see that far ahead. In fact, if you want to see where you're going, you've got to put your head out the window. And what's interesting about that is you can only look in one direction. Even if you have pretty good peripheral vision, you can only look in one direction. And so you can either try to get an idea of where you're going, or you can look back and see where you come from. As a footnote, let me say this. I think we tend to look backwards a little too much, and God wants us to look forward. And so you might be in this car of this train today, And you're wondering where the Lord is taking you. Now, I want to show this next picture because this is God's perspective. He's looking at things from an aerial view. And he's outside of time. And so this is the great news because he sees the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So he sees the beginning and the end of your life. You might be agonizing over your past or things that have happened, but God's not frustrated or troubled by your past because he sees the beginning and the end. And so the great news today is that God can heal us from some of the regrets and that God can come and touch us no matter where we're at. And please listen carefully. He can even go back to some of the memories and visit those memories, heal you to such an extent that you will no longer be paralyzed by that regret, but you'll be at peace and be able to move forward in your life. Someone say amen to that. And so this is this idea of regret. Now, let me drill down on this morning, because I feel like the Lord wants us to talk about perfectionism and to talk about self-judgment. So I've defined perfectionism as this today. It's an unhealthy pattern of thinking that demands perfection in any undertaking. And I have a feeling that some of us in this place today have struggled with perfectionism. I'll say it this way. There's a real difference I've discovered from excellence to perfectionism. Excellence is when you do something with all your heart and then you're okay with it. Perfectionism really ends up paralyzing you. Excellence should set you free. It's kind of like a child that they're coloring or they draw something for you or they do an art project and they're so happy about it. And then you have to tell your child, well, tell daddy what that is that you just drew. Tell daddy what that is. You can't tell, but they're so excited about it. They're okay with it. They're great with what they drew. They did it with all of their heart, with excellence. The problem is when you get older, you want it to look a certain way and to be perfect. And so excellence really ought to set you free to be a child, to color with abandon, to create something with abandon. Unfortunately, perfectionism paralyzes us and keeps us from moving forward. So perfectionism is this unhealthy pattern of thinking that demands perfection in any and every undertaking. And in this context, I want to say this about self-judgment. Self-judgment is severe and unhealthy self-criticism. I don't know about you, but I have struggled with this for so many years that I've had this unhealthy sense that I criticize myself and I judge myself. That's really not the heart of the Father. He doesn't want us to do that. Now, let me give you some indicators that would reveal just a little bit that you might struggle with this a little bit. Here's one. If you struggle with the fact that everything needs to be black or white, in other words, an all or nothing attitude, that might be an indicator that you struggle with perfectionism and self-judgment. Here's another one. You set impossibly high goals for yourself. You would never put those goals on somebody else, but for yourself, they are high goals, and really, they're impossible to fulfill. Here's another one. You're overly concerned about what others think of you. Now, we're all concerned about what everybody else thinks of us. That's just human nature. But it's the sense that you're overly concerned. What are they thinking about? Do they like me? Did they like what I said? Do they like what I did? Here's another one. You feel upset by the smallest mistake. It's hard for you to get over that. You're really troubled about the smallest mistake that you didn't quite get it right. Here's a big one. When someone points out something you need to work on, you feel rejected. I really struggle with this. Because my wife will say to me something and I'll ask her input and she'll say, oh yeah, maybe you should do this or maybe you could do it this way. And then I feel so rejected. And she'll say to me over and over, Eric, I'm not rejecting you. I'm just mentioning something that you could work on. And by the way, you asked me. But yet I feel so rejected. If I pull the curtain back and I'm really transparent with you, this is a weakness of mine. And so my wife's really trying to encourage me in that. But that would indicate that you might struggle with perfectionism. When someone points out something you might need to work on, but you feel rejected as a person. Here's another one. You compare your weaker skills to the best traits of somebody else. That's just out of proportion. But you fall into this trap of comparison. And so you look at your weak skills and you see the best in somebody else. And you just start feeling inferior and you feel bad about yourself. Here's another one. This is big. You minimize your God-given gifts and you agonize over your weaknesses. We're not going to take a show of hands, but I'm going to guess that many of us, we minimize our gifts. The things that are amazing about ourselves, we minimize that. And then we start comparing ourselves to other people, and we minimize what God has given us, and then we agonize over all of our weaknesses. That's probably an indication that you've struggled with perfectionism and self-judgment. Here's another one. You seem to always find fault with yourself. No matter what you do, you're going to criticize yourself. You find fault with how you did it. Inside, you're your worst critic and you're judging. You're judging yourself. Here's a big one. Because you're not happy with yourself, you tend to criticize others. That's huge. And you know what happens? Is it's usually the people that are the closest around you. And so you're not happy with yourself, and that pressure point, it starts bleeding, it starts leaking out, and you start getting angry and criticizing other people. But the reality is you're really not happy with yourself. And so the Lord wants to take us on this journey where He heals our hearts, sets us free from this stuff so that we won't take it out on other people. Here's another one. You think that whatever you've accomplished is just not good enough. You've accomplished some amazing things, but it's still not good enough. Here's one. You procrastinate because you're intimidated by the fact that things won't be perfect. And so you keep putting things off because you want it to just be perfect. And so it paralyzes you. My dear brother and sister, and I've struggled with this so much, but the Lord doesn't want us to live in that place. He really wants to heal our hearts, one of regret, but really to give us strength to help us get victory over this thing called perfectionism, this thing where we judge ourselves. And so today I want to give you some things that we all need to work on. And then I want to give you some things that we need to affirm ourselves on. So we're working on this. None of us are perfect, but we're working on these things. And if we can go on this journey, and I haven't arrived, but I'll say this, the train has left. I'm working on it. And if we can affirm ourselves in certain areas, I think we'll start getting the victory over some of these things. So what are some things? The first thing is this. We need to work on acceptance. We have to work on accepting some things. One of the hardest things is actually to accept your humanity. And usually when you've received the Lord and you've walked with the Lord for a long time, you really love the Lord. So you really want to please Him. I grew up in a Christian home. And I heard the Word since I was little. And so there was this desire to want to please Him. But it was this impossible high standard. Unfortunately, what that does is it's hard for us sometimes to accept our humanity. And so we need to work on acceptance. What do I mean by that? Well, the first one is this, is that I'm not perfect and it's okay. I'm not perfect and it's okay. Now said at an intellectual level, we can probably all say that, but it needs to drop deeper where, you know what, I'm not perfect, but it really is okay. In other words, I don't have to measure up. That should set you free. And what's the scripture? The scripture is this, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one righteous, not even one. So may the Lord give me grace to really accept my humanity, that you know what, I'm not perfect, and that is really okay. And He understands that. So could I get on the same page as the Lord and realize that it's okay? Secondly, I'm acceptable to God. I need to work on this acceptance. I am acceptable to God. Romans 15, verse 7, and this is a really important verse. It says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Can you be courageous enough to realize you are acceptable by God? Some of us have trouble accepting ourselves, but we're acceptable to God. Now, please listen carefully. This is really, really important. Acceptance of ourselves bring praise to God. Now, I'm going to say something that I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I really don't. I just want to be encouraging to you. But could it be, I want to submit to you, could it be that if you're not accepting yourself, if I'm not accepting myself, I'm not bringing praise to God? If I'm not accepting my brothers and sisters and people around me, I'm not bringing praise to God. True praise to God accepts myself, even with all my stuff, even with all my mistakes. And then I'm okay with that. And I accept you. We accept each other. That brings praise to the Lord. That's good preaching. Say amen. Say amen to that. So one, I'm not perfect. It's okay. Two, I'm acceptable to God. Here's a third one. I have certain limitations. Romans 9, verse 20 says this, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? I think we've all probably said that. Lord, why did you make me this way? I mean, if we're really honest, and especially if you're getting older, you look in the mirror and there's things that you just don't like about yourself. I don't like certain things I'm not going to share with you now, but certain things when I look in the mirror that I just don't care about myself. It's hard for us to accept. And so we say, God, why did you make me this way? But it could go deeper than that, Lord. Why do I have this personality? Why do I tend to do it this way? And then we feel insecure and inferior, like, oh, do people like that? Do they accept me? Lord, why? I think we've all said that, but we really need to understand the scripture here that we are born with certain limitations. That's part of humanity, and it's okay. Even with all your wrinkles, even with your humanity, you have certain limitations. And you have certain limitations when it comes to your skill set, when it comes to your talent. But that's okay. God wants you to be free and to understand that. And so that's another one. Here's a fourth one. I'm okay with making mistakes. Philippians 3:12 out of the NASB. Not that I've already grasped it or have already become perfect, but I press on. Man, that's refreshing. That's learning to say, you know what? I've made mistakes and it's okay. I've got to work on accepting this, that it's okay to make mistakes, and I just keep moving forward and I just keep stumbling forward. That's the way the Lord really wants you to live, not to be bound up, that everything didn't work out perfectly, but to learn to get back up and to keep stumbling forward. Here's another one that we need to work on accepting. I will still take responsibilities for when I fail. Because some of us might be saying, well, wait a minute, I got all these problems and you just keep saying it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. No. If you messed up, you still take responsibility for it. And so 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So when I say that we need to accept our humanity and it's okay, I'm not saying that we don't take responsibility. No, if we do make mistakes, we can go to the Lord. But the antidote is that if I confess my mistakes, my sins, he's faithful. He's just. He'll cleanse me. He'll purify me from all unrighteousness. Here's another one that we need to work on accepting in our journey. I will not be liked and loved by everyone. That's big. You, the bottom line is not everyone's going to like you, but that's okay. And you're not going to even be loved by everyone. But the sooner that we really accept that and realize that's okay. And by the way, you're in great company. Listen to Jesus, John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So I know we want everybody to like us and we want everybody to love us. But the reality is they're just not going to. And the sooner we realize that, the freer we'll be. Not everyone is going to really like you. Not everyone's going to really click with you, but that's okay. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. Here's another one. I accept the circumstances I can't change. So Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. You know, all of us here, if we took time, we could share about the circumstances that we would have never planned for or imagined. But learning to accept that and say, you know what, I had a lot of plans and it didn't really work out the way I wanted them to work out, but I'm going to hold on to this. And that is that the purpose of the Lord will prevail. In other words, I'm really going to be okay. I'm going to accept the circumstances that I cannot change. Not always easy to do. Said another way, you could say it this way, that you're going to have peace about those circumstances that you're really uncomfortable with or you wish hadn't happened. But you know what? You're really at peace about it. I mean, think about this. If you were in a car accident, if you had an injury, if you're battling something, your kids are going through something. I mean, you agonize. You would love it to be perfect, but you can't. But you can accept the fact that this is the way it is, and God can come and give me peace in this moment, in this situation. And so may we work on accepting that part. Here's another thing that we need to work on. I'm more concerned about myself than others are. Let's accept that truth and that reality. Listen to Matthew 16:24, and I've chosen this out of the Contemporary English Version. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. So we have to accept the fact that people are really not thinking about us as much as we think they are. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but probably people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they're thinking about you. But we do that. We're concerned. Oh, they must be thinking about this or that. And then the reality is they're not even thinking about us. Why did we think we were so important? The reality is that we need to take up our cross and realize, you know what, I'm maybe not quite as important as I thought I was. I've kind of blown this out of my mind. That actually is not a heavy. That's freeing. That sets you free to say, you know what? Nobody else is worried, so I don't have to be worried either. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. And so let's accept that we're probably more concerned about ourselves than others are. Here's another one. Achievement is not necessarily about the grades. And I know some of you are having trouble with what I'm saying. You're like, wait a minute, shouldn't I try to get my best grade? Sure, you should. But I want you to think about this for a moment, okay? Surgeons, think about this. Let's say you had to get surgery or a brain surgery. You would want the best, right? But the reality is, when you go to surgery, you have no idea what kind of grade that person got. You're thinking to yourself, did this guy get a D or an A? All you know is he passed. He passed. And so that could be a little disconcerting if you look at it that way. But really, life oftentimes is that way. It's not so much about the grade. And some of you guys are just too hard on yourself because you didn't get the high mark in school. You didn't get the grade. It's really not so much about the grade. Let me prove it to you. Proverbs 24 and verse 16, and this is a New Living Translation. The godly may trip 7 times, but they'll get up again. Real success is not perfection. Real success is learning to get back up when you messed up. Is just learning to stumble forward. That's the reality of life. And so may God give us the grace to accept that. To say, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I am going to succeed because I'm going to keep moving forward in the Lord. May God give us the grace to just accept that about ourselves. The last one is this. We got to work on acceptance. The Lord is pleased with me. Some of you need to hear that. Let it thunder in your heart and in your mind. God is pleased with you. And you say, well, wait a minute. What about the mistake I just made? What about my bad attitude, my bad thoughts? The Lord is pleased with you. That's hard for us to receive. But it's reality. It's scriptural. It's the truth. Zephaniah 3, verse 17 out of the Contemporary English version. The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you. And he will refresh your life with his love. The Lord loves you. And I got better news for you. He likes you. He loves you. He likes you. He's pleased with you. Now, if you're a perfectionist, that's hard for you to hear. So I think we should say this out loud. Say, the Lord likes me. Say, the Lord is pleased with me. Okay, now pinch your neighbor and say, man, the Lord really likes you. He likes you. He really, really likes you. And so these are just 10 things, and you can probably think of some more, but these are the ones that just dropped into my heart, things that we really need to work on accepting. And so it's a journey. It's probably a life journey of learning to accept our humanity, to work on acceptance. But I just want to announce to you, if I could, to just share with you that if you'll work on these things, it'll start setting you free. And you don't have to sacrifice excellence. You still want to pursue excellence. But there'll be this sense of freedom and abandonment as a child that you love the Lord, you're serving the Lord. But all that pressure of heaviness and performance and producing perfectionism will be gone. God will set you free. Can you say amen to that? And so those are the things that we need to accept. Now to give us some handles to really help us to work on affirmation. So we need to work on acceptance. Accepting these things that are just reality, part of ourselves. But now, let's be forward thinking. What can we work on with regard to affirmation? And these are the things that I would really encourage you to move forward in affirming yourself. It has a lot to do with your identity as a child of God. The first one is this. I was created in God's image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. This is powerful. You were created in the image of God. Those of you that have children, when you see your kids and they look like you and they act like you, that could be disconcerting, but it could also be exciting. Wow, this is a reflection of my image. You're a reflection of God's image. And so you have to affirm that over and over and over again. I was created in the image of God. Yes, I accept my humanity. It's a dual reality. I'm human, but I'm also divine in the sense that God created me in his image. Keep affirming yourself that you were created in God's image. Secondly, I will not live as a prisoner of my past. You got to keep affirming that. Say, I will not live as a prisoner of my past. Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? But what we tend to do if we're struggling with perfectionism is we keep looking back and say, man, I didn't do that good enough. It's not good enough. And you feel so bad about yourself. And you've got to affirm the fact that God is always doing a new thing. That's the power of redemption. That's the power of restoration. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of being born again. God is always doing a new thing. And so I'm here to declare to you today, even if you have messed up 1,000 times, God will heal, restore, and that which the enemy has stolen, God will give back to you. Say amen to that. And so this sense of affirming ourselves that we will not live as a prisoner of our past, determine that. Here's another one. I will not live in condemnation. Can you be courageous enough to affirm yourself and say, I'm not going to live in condemnation? Listen to Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, which means daddy, daddy. Abba is daddy, father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God has made you also an heir. Say to yourself, be determined that you will not live under condemnation because you're a child of God. And that's powerful. Keep affirming yourself. Another one is this. Affirm yourself in this. I will stop comparing myself to others. That takes practice. That takes you determining that you're going to listen to the Word of God. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Some of you don't know that full well. So it needs to be your prayer that you were created in God's image and you are wonderfully made. So you're His works. You're wonderful. Say that, I'm wonderful. We should use the old King James. Behold, say that, behold, I am wonderful. You're wonderful. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, whether you know it or not, I'm wonderful. Come on, tell them, say it. Say it, I'm wonderful. Now here's the reality. This is the heartbreaking thing, is that when we look in the mirror, we don't think that we're that wonderful. When we look at our track record, we don't think that we're that wonderful. If you really want to bring praise and glory to God, you've got to start accepting the fact that you are amazing, that you're wonderful, hallelujah, even if you don't feel like it. So let's affirm ourselves in this and say, Lord, what you made is wonderful, and I want to believe your word. You know what's amazing? You probably look around and you say, this person's wonderful, this person's amazing, but you have trouble saying that about yourself. That's not braggadocious. I'm not talking about pride. That's a whole nother message. I'm talking about your identity as a child of God. That's, yes, clearly in check, but you've got to get this revelation that you're wonderful. May God give us that revelation. Here's another one. Because if you struggle with perfectionism, it's hard. I will see new challenges as growth points. Because the problem is when you're a perfectionist, it's hard for you to step out and do something because you don't want to take the risk. But you'll start seeing new challenges as growth points. In other words, you don't have to be afraid of failing. Listen to Colossians 1 and verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so you're growing. And that's so refreshing as a believer to, you know what, I'm growing. I don't have it all together, but I'm getting better. I don't have all this figured out, but I'm growing. That's exciting. That's wonderful. You do that with your kids, or you should. The fact that they're growing, they're getting better, and God's doing that with us. We're growing. It's a wonderful opportunity. That's a great thing about being a Christian, about being a child of God. Here's another one. God is not judging me based on my performance. This is big. This is really big. Because most of you judge yourself because you didn't perform well enough. We judge ourselves because we're perfectionists. But God isn't judging me based on my performance. Here's another one. I will keep my mind on the Lord and be at peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so if you're struggling with perfectionism, what happens is you feel all torn up inside. But if you get your mind on the Lord, you're going to have peace. And so may God give us the grace to stay our minds on the peace of the Lord. Here's another one. I am free to enjoy life. John 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. In other words, free from legalism and the pressure that you put on yourself. You're free to enjoy life. Some of you have trouble spending money on yourself, even though God has provided for you, even though He's given you a blessing. But the way you grew up and the way you view things, it's hard for you to just enjoy life. Some of you have trouble taking off work. You're hard workers, but there is something about the Sabbath rest. There is something about enjoying life, and I commend the work ethic. I'm not minimizing that at all, but some of you need to give yourself permission. It kind of works like this. You feel guilty because you're going to take time off for your family, even though you know that's the most important thing, but you feel guilty about it instead of going to work. God wants you to be able to enjoy life. I pray that He can give us a nice sense of rhythm. Here's another one. I will stop judging myself. I'll stop judging myself. John 7, verse 24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. I'm going to submit to you that sometimes when you're hard on yourself, you're judging yourself, but it's incorrect. Because you're judging yourself by the things that you do instead of who you are. So you're a severe judge, a severe self-critic. In other words, we need to make a right judgment like Jesus according to who we are as children of God. That's the right judgment. Because perfectionism and self-judgment will just paralyze us. So make a good judgment. You're a child of God. You're acceptable. He's got an amazing, amazing plan for you. And the last one is this. God is a righteous judge. So 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 says this. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The Lord is a righteous judge. And he's not judging you according to what you do. He's judging you according to who you are. Please say amen to that if you can agree with that. That might be hard for you to accept. But he's not judging you just on your performance. This is really, really big. Because most of us, I'll just talk about myself. I unfortunately have oftentimes based my relationship with the Lord on my performance instead of who I am as a child of God. I'm really working on that. Because I don't want to base my relationship with the Lord just on what I do. No, I'm his son. He's pleased with me. And I'm not minimizing the disciplines and going after him and all of that. What I'm trying to do is to set us free from this internal pressure and self-criticism and self-judgment. And just realize that, man, the Lord loves us and he accepts us. And he wants us to enjoy that freedom. And so I submit to you, affirm yourself. Work on accepting your humanity, but then work on affirming these things in your life so that you won't be a victim of self-judgment and perfectionism. Can you say amen? I want to finish with this text, and I want you to think about this in terms of perfectionism and in terms of self-judgment. And this is found in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and I'm just going to read through this quickly, but I want us to look at this parable, and I want us to think about perfectionism and self-judgment. I'll start at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. Now, he's talking about money here, but it kind of works that it's called talents because we all have different talents. And so he gives one person 5 talents and one person 2 talents. Now, here's the problem with perfectionism. Because I have read this and I never get past these verses because I already feel bad that I am a 1 talent guy. I'm not going to have you take a show of hands, but I have a feeling some of us have also struggled with that. So I can't even get through the parable because I'm like, well, that's not fair. He's got 5 talents. And Lord, why am I only a 2-talent guy or a 1-talent guy? But that's what perfectionism does. And then he went on his journey. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now notice this. The one who buried his treasure was paralyzed. He was paralyzed by perfection, paralyzed by fear. Oh, what if I take this risk and invest it, but I lose it all? Or what if it's not just perfect? That's what perfectionism does. In other words, no task is attempted unless perfection is attainable. So what does he do? He buries it. It's this idea that anything less than perfect is unacceptable. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bury it. And unfortunately, many of us have talents. Many of us have gifts and things, but we're afraid to even use them. We're afraid to reach out. We're afraid to stretch ourselves in faith. Because it's not just quite right, not quite the way we think it ought to be. A long time after the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them, the man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed. See, so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Tragically, he buried it. He wasn't willing to take a step of faith. He wasn't willing to accept his humanity. Out of that paralysis, he never moved forward. His master replied, "Now, everyone tell me you love me for a moment. Everybody say, Eric, I love you. I want to..." Okay, I got a few loves, but I... Because I didn't say this next part, okay? So, Jesus said this, so... I just want to be clear about that, all right? So I don't want anyone's feelings to be hurt here. So he says this. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." And then, of course, this is an end time passage, and we don't have time to explain it all. But then he says this, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But here's the point, is that if you're a perfectionist, you can miss the whole point of the parable. The point of the parable is not that I'm a 1 talent guy and someone else is a 10 talent guy, or that they have and I don't have. That's not the parable. The parable is that we can all multiply. We can all grow and increase. And if you'll just accept your humanity, keep moving forward, whether you have, then the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to bless and reward that. That's an eternal perspective. That's actually really, really refreshing. Because then we get out of this thing called comparison. And this thing where we feel insecure and inferior. Instead, we accept who we are and we get excited about that. You know when I feel miserable? Is usually when I'm comparing myself to somebody else. I feel much better, full of peace and life and joy, when I realize, God, you made me this way. And I have a personal relationship with you. And this is an exciting adventure. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to put that picture up of the train one more time. And I want you to think about this. Ask the Lord to come and visit you on that train. Now let's put the aerial perspective. Yeah. God sees the beginning and the end. Let him come into these areas of your life that you're struggling with so that he can redeem you and set you free. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet. And so I just want to pray over you today. And I hope and pray that this ministered to somebody today, that we gave you some nuggets to get the victory over this stuff. Amen? So I'm going to invite you to just hold your hands out in front of you, just like you're going to receive something, okay? And let's ask God to just begin to release his grace to us and to receive his mercy. Now, Lord, I'm asking you that you come and you visit us, touch us in these areas of our heart and in our minds. And Lord, I pray right now that those of us who have judged ourselves so severely, that you would begin to break that off of our lives. I come against self-judgment today, and I cut that off in Jesus' name. I come against severe criticism of ourselves. And Lord, we just call that what it is. It's wrong. It's sin. We nail that to the cross, and we declare that you accept us for who we are. Lord, you're showing me right now that there are many people in this place that have really had trouble getting over some of the sin and the mistakes of their past. And it just tortures them. It affects their relationships right now. It affects how they move forward. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'll just release your grace and your healing right now. That the rewind button would stop in Jesus' name. Pray for the healing fire of the Lord to come in the inner recesses of our mind and in our memories. And I just pray for revelation today. Revelation that we're your children. That we are created wonderfully in your image. Just take a moment and talk to him in your own way, however you do that, in the quietness and in the privacy of where you're standing. Just talk to him and say, Lord, I don't want to base my relationship with you on performance. I don't want to be so severe on myself. I want to invite you to just imagine in your mind being a child again and just running and playing. Dancing, playing with abandon, not worrying about performance and doing it just right, but really for the love of the game, for the love of and enjoying life. I want to invite you to see yourself coloring a picture way outside the lines and it bringing a smile to your face. Invite you to see a child who is learning how to walk and they stumble and fall, but you're so proud of them because they just keep getting back up and trying and learning. And that's you. That's you. And so now I just release the fire of the Lord and the sword of the Lord, and I break self-judgment, and I break the spirit of perfectionism, and I just command all that heaviness and pressure to lift off of people's shoulders right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just keep receiving, and let's just get a few people healed. And the Lord's showing me there's somebody here that you're really having trouble breathing. It has to do with your nasal passages, and you find you're always like going like that. Just it's hard to breathe. Just raise your hand quickly. Let's right where you're at. You don't have to come forward. Yeah, Lord, just release the healing. More than one, we release the healing power of the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Just begin to heal their nasal passages. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. I've got somebody else that has a shoulder injury. And it really, it just gives you a pinching pain oftentimes when you're lifting things or reaching high. Who's that? Just raise your hand. I've got that. Oh, got a number of people with that. Lord, we just release that healing power. What doctors haven't been able to do, I just thank you right now for the healing fire of the Lord to go right through these shoulders in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's shown me we have a number of people that get migraine headaches. Would you just lift your hand toward heaven? I've got a number with migraines. Yeah. In fact, it just a tremendous amount of pressure. One of you, you get it on the side of your head, and even your ear just begins to just really hurt. Lord, I just release your healing power right now in the name of Jesus. And I cut off every curse. In fact, one of you, it's a generational tie that's been come down genetically. You have parents and grandparents and people in your family that have had that. I stop that in Jesus' name. I cut that off in the name of the Lord. And I just release the healing power of the Lord. No more migraines in the name of Jesus. No more migraines. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what this means, but the word sternum just keeps coming to me. Where's the sternum? Somewhere here? Yeah, there's someone here. You just get pain, right? In your sternum. And today's your day. You're going to be healed from that. Who's that? Just raise. Is that you? Yeah, Lord, we just release your healing power right into her chest, right into her sternum. And I just pray total healing right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, would you just throw your hands up in the air, church? And yeah, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your healing. Thank you that you heal our bodies. You heal our hearts and minds and emotions. And we just give you the glory and the honor for that. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord.
Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
See, walking around these walls.
Oh,
Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for the words, Lord, that were spoken to our community throughout this whole weekend. God, living beyond regret, Lord. We recognize, God, that there has been depressive moments, God, and, Lord, there's been anxiety, Lord, perfectionism. Father God, we've been very judgmental, especially to ourselves, Lord. But we thank you, God, that you come to set us free. So come, Holy Spirit, and do that deep, deep work in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And again, happy anniversary. If you need any prayer, come up and our well ministers will pray for you. If you want to spend some time with Pastor Eric, you can also come up and say hello. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. God bless you guys.